The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin is meeting officials from the HSE and the Vaccination Expert Task Force this morning ahead of today's cabinet meeting. Earlier in the week, NIAC recommended that the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine be given only to people over 60 due to rare blood clotting reports. Yesterday, Johnson & Johnson said that it's to proactively delay the rollout of its COVID vaccine to Europe, also due to reports of blood clots in the United States. We're joined by Dennis McCauley, Chair of the GP Council of the Irish Medical Organisation. I'll talk to Dennis in a moment or two. And also by Danny McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner. Good morning to you, Danny. I'm tempted to use the old line, another fine mess you've got us into. It does seem as if uncertainty and confusion is the hallmark of all of this.
It certainly does. I mean, I suppose we began this week on a hopeful note, you know, with the easing of restrictions and you know, with the move beyond 5 kilometres and the return to schools for everybody. But I mean, that hope and that joy was sort of short lived because, you know, within hours we knew that NIAC were going to make a determination in relation to AstraZeneca, and it probably caught an awful lot of people off guard just how restrictive and cautious they have been. You know, we're getting very tired, I think, of hearing this phrase, an abundance of caution, being the byword of policy making. And I think there has been legitimate criticism that this has essentially been an issue parked by government over to non-elected medical experts, you know, rather than this being a political decision, because they're not just public health considerations being, you know, at play here. There are much wider economic and societal considerations. Be that as it may, the decision has been taken and there's been the AstraZeneca issue. But in isolation, that wasn't necessarily fatal. It, you know, I think the lessons have been learned with AstraZeneca. They have adopted the system to make sure that they, you know, it's 1 in 5 as opposed to being 1 in 2. So there was sufficient capacity, I think, to mitigate against most of the worst of the damage. However, I think the decision yesterday by Johnson & Johnson is far more serious from an Irish perspective without question, because the single dose vaccine was seen. And, you know, that again, another hackneyed phase, you know, that game has been referred to as the game changer. If this pause or suspension is to be kind of long term, then that will have a significant impact, not only in terms of vaccine rollout, but the subsequent reopening of the country, which obviously is bad news for everybody.
Now, one of the confusing things is that the EMA has noted the possible link to a very small number of rare clots, but it has not said don't give AstraZeneca to any age group or any gender. They haven't said that. They said, no, carry on, because you're looking at public health and trying to keep people free of COVID. And if you get COVID, depending on your age and circumstance, and sometimes there's no logic to it, you can get it very badly, or you can end up getting it mildly and ending up with long COVID. So there are lots of public health effects if you look at it from a statistical point of view. And the EMA say carry on. And yet, you know, all the different national agencies are saying different things. We give it to the over 60s. In the UK, they're not giving it to the under 30s, but that's the height of it.
Yeah, I does beg a belief, you know, when, you know what I mean, because again, we're told from a government level that they're relying on health advice and public health advice, but yet there is no unanimity, as you've rightly and correctly outlined there. There's no unanimity, both either from a European level and then down to a national level. I think what we've seen, though, since the start of this pandemic last year, is the Irish health officials taking a very conservative approach, a very cautious approach. And that has been much criticised both within government at times and I think within the wider business community, that, you know, we're overly cautious, that things, you know, have been clamped down and restricted to a degree that is clearly not necessary to an awful lot of people's minds. I was surprised at the restrictions or the decision by NIAC to go the way that they had done, given that sort of wider sense and given the relatively small numbers involved in terms of the blood clotting. It does seem to me, and I'm not a medical expert, but just using a statistical basis, it does seem to be a kind of an overly cautious approach. And I think by limiting it to
When you're looking, and this is where the mathematicians, maybe Professor Nolan has got to get involved on NPHET, the president of Maynooth, where they've got to get involved, because when you subtract from the available vaccines the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine, then it prolongs our vaccination program unless we can get extra supplies from somewhere, Moderna or Pfizer, because they're the mRNA type vaccine rather than the Oxford or Johnson & Johnson type vaccine. Unless we get more supplies, our vaccination program will be protracted. More people will get COVID. More people will be very seriously ill. More people will die. So with the subtraction of J&J, the statisticians have got to get back in and look at the risk-reward running into the summer.
Without question. And you know, the point has been made very clearly, you know, repeatedly by government, is that the vaccine is clearly our way out of this. You know, they've ruled out herd immunity. They have ruled out a zero COVID strategy. So they're basically saying the silver bullet, the way out of this is, you know, getting the vaccine strategy and the rollout up to a degree where you take that acute pressure off our hospital system, you allow society to reopen safely, etc. like that. But if there's any, like any delay to that, and we are already, you know, considerably well behind our nearest neighbour, to say the very least, that has obviously a direct impact in terms of how the pace at which the restrictions are going to be eased, you know, society returning to normal. And that is that's a devastating blow for businesses that have been kind of furloughed for over a year now, for 13 months now at this stage. And I just don't get the sense, you know, I mean, clearly there has been this huge pressure on the global supply of vaccines. And while there were initial bumps in terms of Pfizer, I think you know, the pattern of the last few weeks has been far more encouraging. I do think it's a much more stable supply chain than AstraZeneca has been. And it is, in terms of scale and volume here in Ireland, it's the leading vaccine at the moment here as well. So if there's any chance of upping the supply, you'd be looking at Moderna and you'd be looking at Pfizer, because they seem to be the most reliable in terms of supply chain at the moment.
My colleagues on the breakfast show this morning were noting, though, in their text response, and you know, they're only straws in the wind, no more than that. They're not statistical quantities, but a number of people saying, I will take the AstraZeneca vaccine if you give it to me. I want a vaccine. You know, I'll stick my arm out for that or for any other one. I'm aware of the risks. The risks are very, very low. I will do it. And the suggestion was therefore made that the rise in vaccine hesitancy that we might have expected from this news, first of all from AstraZeneca and then from J&J, the rise is not happening, that people are still saying, I want the vaccine.
Yeah, I think there will always be a cohort of people who are reluctant, and we know that there is an anti-vaccination movement, small as enough and noisy as it is, but it is minor enough. I think, you know, surveys of different sectors of the population, I heard one in relation to farmers on radio this morning, and, you know, the numbers are very, very encouraging from a vaccine point of view. It's 80% plus or 75% plus who are willing to take the vaccine and clearly want it. Because as I said, you know, we've been told repeatedly, it's our way out of this. It's you get your vaccine, you'll be able to travel. If you get your vaccine, you'll be able to move around. And we've already seen that under the latest plan announced by government, two vaccinated people are the only people who can now legitimately meet indoors, where everybody else, if you're meeting from other households, still have to meet outdoors. So the benefits of full vaccinations are clear for everybody to see. So I think that message has certainly landed to a majority of people. And what I would say to an awful lot of people, I know a lot of the debate yesterday around radios, you know, for the 60s to 69 year olds, you know, is it safe for me to take the AstraZeneca when it's deemed not safe for other cohorts to take? Certainly my impression, and certainly people speaking to an awful lot of medical people, saying, you know, the decision by NIAC was so cautious that the risks involved are so low, relatively speaking, to the benefits, that, you know, that those concerns are misplaced, and they would seek to be reassured. So, but anyway, I understand those conversations.
I'm just thinking, you know, maybe they're overcautious, and they had the buffer of J&J, you see, in their back pocket, they thought. And then at lunchtime yesterday, just after we went off air, the news came from the United States about the clotting there. Again, very rare. But out of an abundance of caution, to use that phrase, J&J have stopped under federal orders. But I think individual states can still make up their own mind about that. But J&J themselves pulling the plug on that for the moment. Meantime, we have the whole quarantine saga. And surprise, surprise, when you've got more than 10,000 people coming into Dublin Airport every week, and then you add countries like Italy and France to the list, the hotels are full, and they're going to be full, you know, from day one for, in theory, 14 days. Why is that a surprise?
It's not a surprise at all, but it just goes to show again, I think, Pat, that the government has been completely ill-equipped to deal with this quarantine issue. They've been dragged, and I think I've spoken on this program before, they were dragged kicking and screaming to a position of having to introduce this. They didn't want to do it. And what's also been clear is that they've essentially dumped it on Stephen Donnelly, who's already got a very heavy workload anyway, to take care of it. It beggars belief in a country that, has more, has hotels to beat demand lying idle and lying empty, that this sort of scenario wasn't envisaged, that we were essentially relying on a very, very small handful of hotels, which clearly are now at capacity. Why there wasn't a contingency plan, particularly when additional countries, like we knew that additional countries were likely to be added, and it just beggars belief that this sort of contingency planning wasn't even thought through. But it does show to me that the system, they haven't done their tire kicking in relation to this. They've been scrambling to get this thing over the line, and it was delayed coming in. I mean, like, they talked about it and legislated in January, and it's only kind of come into effect in the last couple of weeks or so. So it took a long time to get up, even to get one or two hotels up and running. And now clearly, with those additional hotels being, added to the list, the capacity issues are now being witnessed all over the place. What I would certainly think is that it shouldn't be beyond the realms of efficiencies or competencies to get additional hotels near the airport, close to the airports, signed up, because I would presume that they'd welcome the business as much as possible. But the only fear is that, given the government is sort of playing catch up, it's open to those providers, I'm sure, to extract a very decent price from the government, which means the taxpayers is losing out again. So it just means, I just think it ill behoves a government that has been, as I said, been on the back foot for a long time in relation to this issue. They've squandered another glorious opportunity to assert its control over this whole issue of vaccines, the COVID-19 pandemic. They've let the game slip away from them yet again, and this is turning into another week of scramble and chaos rather than one of control and calm, fortunately.
And meantime, we're told the portal, starting with the 69-year-olds, will be opening, and day by day then the 69s to 61s can actually log on and book an AstraZeneca, one presumes, vaccine. By the way, a final point, Danny. It was suggested in various quarters that the reason for the abundance of caution is the litigious nature of Irish society. You may have seen the settlements for a previous vaccine where some people had effects which were proven. But given the nature of the global pandemic and given the risk from the reality of COVID-19, could they not put a disclaimer that you sign when you go for the vaccine, give them a fact sheet and make sure that people are aware that there are very minimal risks, but they're there. They're minimal, but they're there. And you sign off on that if you want the vaccine. And if you don't agree with the disclaimer, you go away and wait for an invitation maybe to get a different one. But I would suspect that all the vaccines probably have potential side effects for a tiny, tiny, tiny number of people.
Yeah, I mean, the same applies, Pat, to your normal paracetamol. If you look at the back of the box of your paracetamol, there are side effects that are listed there, or possible side effects listed there. There's a risk to taking anything. And I do clearly get the sense that the system, the establishment, the civil service have adopted an ultra legalistic approach to this, i.e. they're trying to minimize the exposure to the state. While in normal circumstances, you say that's prudent and all the rest of it, but, it is proving, it's having a direct impact in terms of the scale and the speed of the rollout of the vaccine, which obviously has much wider implications in terms of the reopening of society. I just go back to what someone like Mike Ryan in the WHO has said repeatedly. He said speed is the best weapon against the pandemic. Caution is the enemy, essentially, of this, and speed trumps perfection. So ultimately, be ready to make mistakes. By all means, make the mistakes. But like waiting and sitting around and waiting for another kind of, numbers to drop to a certain level won't get you anywhere. And I do think that's where I think there's been a deficiency of political leadership here. We have essentially outsourced decision making to non-elected bodies who are, clearly adopting a very, very cautious approach. Yeah. It's time, in my view, and a lot of people's view, particularly the business community, for the government to kind of stand up for the wider societal and economic interest, because I don't think that balance is quite where it needs to be at this moment in time.
All right, Danny, thank you very much for joining us. Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Dennis McCauley, chair of the GP Council of the Irish Medical Organisation, has been listening to all of that. Dennis, I'm sure you greeted the news about AstraZeneca and J&J with dismay, at least.
surprised, I suppose, at the decision to only recommend it for over 60s. And I think that then gives a situation that we have more vaccine, AstraZeneca vaccine, than we have people to actually give. But we have to react, I suppose. Going some of the points that Danny was saying, I think this is a crisis, and there seems to be a crisis every week. But it's not unexpected that there will be developments that we have to react to them. But I suppose the important thing is to try and get confidence and as much certainty as is possible. I suppose I'm a little bit jaundiced looking at this. Like yesterday, there was probably a situation where there was a lot of vaccine negativity about, you know, the relative risks of it. Overnight now, there's a change, and the media reporting is almost that of fear of actual shortages. So I think there's an awful lot of facts, but perhaps not as much knowledge floating about.
Mm. In your practice, are you being interrogated by people, you know, which vaccine am I getting? I don't want AstraZeneca, I do want Pfizer. Are you getting that kind of reaction, or are people just glad to be offered the vaccine?
I think actually from the very start, I think AstraZeneca's sort of PR has been up and down, and I think people have been inquiring. But I think it's more, I would go along with what Danny said, I think an awful lot of people are interested to know, to personalise the situation for them. And I think that the over 70s, they're quite comfortable taking the mRNA vaccine. The cohort now that will be probably offered the AstraZeneca. I agree with Danny. There's at one end people who are probably not keen on vaccines generally. Then there's another group who are very pragmatic, who want the vaccine. There's sort of the middle ground that I feel sorry for, because I think they are the people that are listening to both sides, and they're unsure what to do. And I think that the background of sort of negativity, and then now with this sort of fear of shortages, are giving them lots of emotions. And I think we're probably tasked with the view of personalising it to them, and so that they can make decisions. And the vast majority of people, I have yet to see somebody who has sort of said, well, I'm not taking it. I think the vast majority of people in the age cohort, particularly over 50, I would sort of say, are comfortable enough to say, yeah, there's a risk here, but when you articulate the risk to them, the vast majority of them are saying, that's fine. You know, just I will always tell them they'll have a sore arm and feel a bit fluey for a day or two, but they will then be vaccinated, and they're quite comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, the people who've been left a bit high and dry are the people who were medically vulnerable and got the AstraZeneca, and then they're suddenly told, you know, if they're in their 20s, it's not appropriate for you, or you're their 30s. It's only appropriate over 60s. I mean, that's terrible.
I think it is, and I think the optics. Well, I think the optics of just, you know, the vaccination has been cancelled. You know, been told that vaccination clinics have been cancelled. Now, I know that some people had appointments cancelled. But I think there is essentially just a pause in this. I do think that the medically vulnerable people will get their vaccine in a prompt manner. And I think it's just a matter of last week's plan is now the old plan. There now has to be a new plan. But I do expect the HSE have been working, modelling on this from even they have been anticipating an IAC decision and have been modelling appropriately. They've been discussing with the Irish Medical Organisation different ways now that we can have a logical plan coming on from this clinical guidance. So I think it is the first metric is, I think, to try and get stability and to reintroduce a vaccine program to get the very vulnerable people vaccinated, because I think they're anxious enough, as I say, the negativity today and the slight panic today of relative shortages adding to that. I think all we can do is restart the program for these people. I would expect that we should have a plan today or tomorrow in relation to this, and I think it then will be started as soon as it's practical. I think that's the first short-term action we can do to try and re-establish a certain amount of confidence for these people.
Yeah. I mean, Dennis, would it be fair to put a notice in your surgery or on the documentation writ large? The AstraZeneca vaccine is safe. However, in a very, very small number of cases, there has been da-da-da-da. The risk of this is, and give, you know, the proportionate risk, 1 in 150,000 or whatever it is. And in other words, tell them that generally speaking, and in the vast 99.9999% of the cases, it's safe to take. Do you know what I mean?
I think people see the transparency of risk. I think people like to see leaflets. They like to see various facts, but unfortunately, there are probably too many leaflets and actually too many facts. I think they like to just speak to somebody on a personal basis, and I think that as much as it is an extra burden on general practice, I think we are a focus where people ring worried. Even quite a lot of the time, people who were going to the regional vaccination centres were ringing us in a way, even though the clinical governance wasn't with us, they were asking our advice on it. And I think, Pat, to have another leaflet or another poster would not be as effective as to say, "What do you think, doctor?" And
yeah.
I must admit, I articulate the facts as clearly as I can. And I think most of the time, as I say, anybody who has rung us about going to and getting the AstraZeneca vaccine, I think all of them, I think there's every single one of them have actually decided to actually proceed. So I think that the group that's between 60 and 69, as Danny said, these are a group that, regardless of whether they have medical conditions or not, they are aware that COVID will have significant issues for them. And I think that hopefully the articulation of just some sensible risk stratification for them generally or personally when they're about to take the vaccine will allow them to stick their arm out and take it, and they will feel relief afterwards. They definitely will.
All right, Dennis, so many texts coming in. This one here, the risks are very low. The UK has used the AstraZeneca vaccine on over 30 million people with less than 80 cases of clots. If you surveyed the entire population of Sweden, Denmark, Finland and Belgium with a combined population of probably around the same, 30 million, you'd probably find the same amount of people with blood clotting. So this shows the low level of risk with the vaccine. Surely here in Ireland, with 100,000 AstraZeneca vaccines sitting unused this week with the latest debacle, that the public should be able to choose to accept this minuscule risk and say, we want it, and the government should allow those of any age who apply to get it and then so decrease the more dangerous risk of disease spread. Ed says, when you're explaining, you're losing. Why don't they stop trying to flog a dead horse with AstraZeneca and just get adequate supplies of Pfizer? I think they would if they could. I turned 60 at the end of June, says another. Right now, having heard all the explanations for the latest cautionary delay, I'll take whatever vaccine I'm offered whenever it's offered, even Sputnik. Hook it into my veins. Well, my arm anyway. That's from another News Talk listener. Anecdotally, most Irish people willing to take AstraZeneca, so online booking system could have an opt-in for the vaccines that people are willing to accept and keep allowing AstraZeneca for all groups. Someone else taking me to task for warning about long COVID. Well, long COVID is terrible if you get it, and it's just another thing that should be added into the factoring of risk. I'm 57. I want to choose for myself whether I take a vaccine or not. I'm heartily sick of the ultra-cautious, myopic, cosseted politicians and medical elites taking huge decisions on my behalf that impact my life and my business, my financial well-being, my mental well-being and my freedom. Please, let's see the bigger picture. Neffet is entirely one-dimensional, says Tim in Wicklow. The delay to J&J, although frustrating, makes no difference from what I can tell. This government, even if they got their targets of 80% vaccinated by summer, we're still talking about restrictions to hospitality, etc. Give me any jab. I need my life back, says Stephen in Cork. And Mike says, the problems must be a godsend for the government. They can now blame the lack of vaccinations on this. I can hear them now. It's not our fault. If we had the vaccines, we would have vaccinated thousands more. Maybe next time. It's always next week with them. So, Dennis, finally, what do you say to your patients, but also the general patient body out there about, you know, waiting for a vaccine?
Well, I think that, as I said, the important thing is to re-establish the vaccination program in light of the new issues as soon as possible. And I hope we'll have news about that today or tomorrow. That is number one. I think that, unfortunately, there will probably now be a deficit in the amount of vaccines that were planned for the next quarter. I think the options then are to try and get more vaccine, which would be wonderful, to look at the guidance for the mRNA vaccines, or at a later date, if more information comes out, to actually look at the guidance for AstraZeneca. But I think the important thing is to keep ticking over the vaccines, whether it's 17,000 a day or 25,000 a day. Just keep doing it, because We look at Northern Ireland, and you know, we want to be like them as soon as is practical. So we just need to. The important thing is the day-to-day punter stuff is to get the vaccinations program started again. I think that will reinstill some level of confidence, and then we just have to stick with the new plan, whatever the new plan is.
You mightn't know the answer to this question, but one of the listeners finally, Dennis, is saying, you know, why are we ignoring Sputnik, a perfectly good vaccine? Is it all about EU-Russia politics? Well, Sputnik has been given to the EMA for an examination, I know, and they will go through all the data. But is it not made through the same technology as J&J and AstraZeneca? It's not an RNA.
My understanding... As I say, not an expert, but my commentary of the facts, but not the knowledge, is that it is a similar it's a variant adenovirus. Yep. It's an innocent adenovirus that has been inducing an immune response. So once again, similar technology, but whether that immune response issues this abnormal immune reaction causing the clots, we're not sure. But the European Medicines Agency. They are considering it. Yeah, I think if they passed it, I would take it. So we have to. I suppose we are medical elites, but we're trying to. I'm presumably a member of that, but we are trying to work our way through this to try and get to the goal that we're all looking for.
Dennis McCauley, Chair of the GP Council of the Irish Medical Organisation. Thank you very much for joining us, Dennis. So many.